E-commerce isn't just an aspect of growing a successful wine business, it is crucial. And that's why I strongly recommend working with Offset Partners. As a proudly independent e-commerce technology and brand design company based in wine country, Offset understands the operational nuances and the customer service imperatives that distinguish a great online buying experience from a mediocre one. And that's why leading and legendary brands like Saxum, Arnott Roberts, and Kermit Lynch Wine Merchant choose Offset's proprietary commerce technology platform to power their DTC sales. If you're an allocated winery or a high-touch merchant that values an elegant, effective commerce solution for both you, your customers, and your team, reach out to the smart team at offsetpartners.com. That's OFFSET, partners with an S.com, to craft a better direct-to-consumer experience.
I'll drink to that, where we get behind the scenes of the beverage business. I'm Levy Dalton.
I'm Erin Scala.
And here's our show today. Kostas Bakasietis on the show today. Hello, sir. How are you?
Fine. Thank you very much for the invitation.
So you run a vine nursery, the Bakasietis Vine Nursery in Greece, in Nemea.
Yes.
And you live in Nemea.
Yes, I have born in Nemea in 79, and all my life I was in the vineyard. And my dream it was to study the vineyard, viticulture. So that's what I did. And I have studied in the university in Athens, agronomist. And I have studied from 1998 to 2004. And then I was in Montpellier. I went to Montpellier for 3 years.
Because you speak French well.
Yes. Vous parlez français?
Not so much.
Okay. So,
what was it like in Montpellier? Because then later you were in Bordeaux. So what was...
Yeah, I was in Bordeaux, in fact, just for 6 months. Okay, the mainly studied was in Montpellier, because there is a center in viticulture. So I did a master in viticulture and enology. I'm also an enologist, but I don't use this, okay?
So you can make wine, and sometimes you do, but it's not something you really talk about.
No. I don't really to talk. I don't like also to talk for wine. So, and from 2007, when I finished my studies, I returned to the nursery. I get in the nursery with my brother, and we now go on the nursery, both of them.
So what is the business of a nursery? What is it that you do?
Oof, quite complex, okay, quite difficult. It's not like the nursery here in the USA, because just a few days ago I visited a nursery here in Sonoma Valley. In Europe it's quite different, because the nursery, they have discussed, they have to sell to traditional viticulturists, so it's not so easy to sell to a traditional viticulturist, if you compare with a viticulturist which is a company behind, a big company which has agronomies, which has, can they are able to understand. So the nursery today is quite difficult, of course, because there's a lot of people that they have to work, they have to manage the land, they have to manage all the work in the building, but at the same time, you have to have a lot of knowledge concerning the clone, concerning the virus, and to be ready any time to have all the details, all the information to your client.
So what you're saying is that's often in Greece you're working with small-scale producers that
yes.
have plots, but then also do everything else involving winemaking, and they may not have a lot of time to dedicate to which clone is going in, and that's not like that's their whole
deal. Yeah, that's true. This is the problem. But, you know, in all the traditional countries like Greece, this is the life. This is the life of being in the vineyard. You have the same time to be an agronomist, viticulturist, worker, and enologist. So,
and you might just be a regular guy and have some vines behind the house, that
yes,
kind of thing.
Yes, like something like that, yeah. Okay, there are also a lot of companies, a lot of wineries, but This is not the regular.
So it seems sort of fascinating to work as a vine nurseryman in Greece, which has perhaps more distinct grape varieties than anywhere in the world.
Yeah, this it was the interest in the job. So except of all of the work that we do in the nursery, all of the economical things to live, I was very passionate and I like a lot this job, I decided the 2004 to start learning and discover the Greek varieties. It was a dream that from 2004 start all of this trip to search in the Greek varieties and to search in the Greek clones. And in this big trip, there's a big institute in France that help us a lot. And together we are looking for all over in Greece, all the indigenous and autochthon rare varieties and all the clone in the most important Greek varieties. It is fascinating because you learn the people. You visit all the small villages, you visit all the mountains, you visit all the people in the mountains, on the hill. I visit almost all the island in Greece where there are vineyards. I have tasted and ate everything concerning the Greek kitchen everywhere. So beside of the work, you discover a lot of things. So this is very fascinating.
Part of your job is to travel all throughout Greece and find rare grape varieties.
Yes.
And identify them and then perhaps put them in a way for future propagation.
This is the target. This is the target. We have started 2004 and we have said, okay, let's go to see what happened with the most important grape varieties in Greece, like Agiorgitiko, Xinomavro, Assyrtiko, Moskofilero, or Malagousia. So we have started to searching for new clones or for old clones, whatever. In any case, different clone in this variety. But as goes in the vineyard, we discovered that pass over some rare varieties. So about 2006-2007, we had a big discussion what to do. Because, you know, when you pass over, the next year maybe the vineyards exist. The viticulture may be destroyed, take out. So the 2007, we decided to say, okay, we have to mark everything and we will see at the end of the road what is going to happen.
So how long do you think that road is? How many grape varieties do you really think are out there? What's your guess?
I am afraid to guess. Okay, there's a really big road. We cannot see the end at this moment. We are still at the beginning. After 10 years, we are still at the beginning. We don't know. We can just guess, but I don't want to guess because I am probably make a wrong guess.
But you think it's in the thousands?
Not thousands, but hundreds, yes.
Distinct varieties.
Yes, distinct varieties. So until today, we have marked more around 80 different varieties, but still we still are at the beginning.
And then of those varieties, there's numerous clones.
Yes, and yes, in some varieties we have marked a lot of clones. For example, in Agiorgitiko, which is the principal red variety in Greece, we have marked approximately 260 clones. So, and from this number, we choose already 7 clones, and this is the first family of clones that we are going to give it to the market. And but still in Agiorgitiko, after this work, there are every day I notice new clone that I didn't market yet. So maybe my child, after 20 years, they have to return and to discover the second generation of clone.
What is the process? You go into a vineyard, and how do you identify one vine from another?
There are a lot of different things that you have to know and to support. Of course, first, you have to be a good agronomist. You have to know to recognize the soil potential. You have to know to recognize the variety potential. You have to understand the potential of the climate, You have to know where you are in the region. And the mainly things that you have to know is abelography. Do you know what's abelography? No.
Like what leaves look like, right?
Yeah, something like that. But it's quite more complex. Huh? In abelography, you can describe the vines using almost 120 different characteristics. It's quite more complex from the leaves, okay? So all of these, you combine all of these. And if you have all of this knowledge, you get in the vineyard and you start to mark the different things, not the qualitative things, just the different things. And there you can after you mark the vines, come back every year for 3 years to see if this different thing that you market, for example, small berry, big buns, small buns, big leaves, small leaves, things like that. So you come back every year for 3 years to see if this genetical characteristic is stable, because maybe it's not stable. Maybe it's happened something in this vine this particular year. So you have come back for 3 years minimum. You notice if this characteristic is stable. So if it's stable, probably, you are not sure, you find a clone. And then you take the material at the third or the fourth year, you drive the material to the laboratory, and there they make all the analysis for the virus. And if the material is clean, okay, you go on. If the material is not okay, you have to clean it. So already we are at 8 years. So it's a long period.
So what does it mean to clean it?
From virus, it's a special procedure. You use the apex, the meristem of the shoot, and you take it. You make multiplication in vitro. You make also the same time a small micrografting in vitro, and the new shoot that you are going to take from all of this procedure, probably 95% is clean, because the virus cannot follow the development of the plant in vitro condition. So you take again the apex of the new plant, as the virus cannot follow in the plant the development of the plant, and probably you have a clean plant, and you make after the analysis to confirm this result. You know, the virus is something that infects a lot the quality. This is the reason why we do all of this procedure. A lot of indigenous variety in Europe, they were infected. So a lot of countries like France, Italy, Spain, they have already done. And we do it also at this moment.
So it affects both production levels and quality and color and crop load and taste? And
almost everything. It depends on the type of the virus. But until today, we know that the most of the virus, like leaf roll, which is one of the most popular and dangerous virus, which has approximately 9 type today, influence a lot of the color, decrease the color. It can possible to decrease the color to 20 to 40%. The aromas in Muscat variety, 60%. The production, so it's influenced a lot the quality. And economical, this is not correct for the wine industry.
Just as there are multiple clones of the same grape variety, there are multiple kinds of the same virus. Like there's multiple kinds of leaf roll.
Yes.
And have you found that certain grape varieties have been more prone to virus than others? Are there some that have been remarkably clean and some that have been very virused?
Good question. Yeah, that's true. We have found that in some varieties, like a Georgitico, today all the vines that we have is 100% infected.
All of it's infected.
There's no any, even one plant that is not infected. So 100.01 of the plant in our region is infected. So this is the interesting for us. This is why we believe that Agiorgitiko can be still more far in quality, because when we will clean it, which we did it already, we will wait the new result that be much better in color and aroma. And I am very passionate on this. I wait the day to taste the first wine from the clean material of Agiorgitiko.
Agiorgitiko is fairly common. As you mentioned, it's one of the most popular grape varieties to grow inside of Greece. But are there grape varieties that you've come across that are very uncommon, where there's only been a handful of examples?
Believe me, there are. Every day we discover new varieties. The last year we have started to make also some wine from some varieties like that, like Mavrostifo. Nobody knows this variety, even in Greece, even the agronomist. Nobody knows. We just found this variety in the vineyard. We discover that it's something different. We make all the DNA analysis. We cannot find something similar. We found, of course, the name we didn't give. We to the material. We just go back to the bibliography in the Asian, in the old books in Greece, and we just found that it's described, but it was almost disappeared. So we found some plants, and today we try to multiply it and give the wine to the wine industry and to taste it and to understand that it's a good variety, promising variety, maybe can give us something different in the taste of the principal varieties that we have.
So you found varieties that have basically become near extinct, very rare, and then you've cleaned them and you've propagated them, and then you've gone ahead and made some wine for them, but for the industry to try.
Yes.
So they can get a sense of whether they're interested in working with that grape variety.
Yeah. This is the target. This is what we like to do, and this is our job, to show and to give to the industry new ideas, new material, new product. And the wine industry give this product to the market. It's a processor that takes time. You have to be with a lot of passion. But it's our job, and we love it. It's you have something I know to work. It's always for me something very interesting, because you don't know the result. Every day you work without to have a road, without to have a schedule where it's going to be the result. So it's really interesting. It's really interesting. For example. We were in the region of Mantinea. Mantinea is the region where we make Moscofilero. Okay, so we were there to a searching clone for Moscofilero. It's a very genetical variety, a lot of clones, different clones. It's very interesting variety. And as we were there, we just found one plant of Malvasia. And we know that Malvasia today is... In Italy, so we just found our plant of Malvasia. But the interesting it is that this plant, it was more than 200 years old. So we don't know if Malvasia is really Italian, or maybe it's Greek that disappeared from Greece. We don't know. Maybe it's material that came from Italy, maybe not. We don't know. So every day we discover things like that.
What's the oldest grape variety that you've discovered?
There's no answer. You cannot say there's no, the history, the variety is not written in the history. So when you say the oldest variety, all the varieties old, okay? So Agiorgitiko, for example, is mentioned from the last 2,300 years. In the region of Romania, there are vineyards which produce red wine. Okay, there's no mention of the variety Agiorgitiko, but we suppose that probably it was this variety. The same happened with Athiri, another white variety of the Sea of Aegeo. So for us, all of these varieties, old varieties. The thing is that we found some variety, some vines, in which we don't know nothing. This is the interesting for the future. We don't know... Even the name, we don't know the material, we don't know the DNA, we cannot recognize anything. So we have just to keep in the collection. A little by little, work on this and see if there is any interesting. And if there is any interesting for the wine industry, after to look for any information. And if we cannot find anything, we will see.
So you can't tell from the DNA how old it is. You can't, like, there's not like a test you can do.
No, no. I think that I'm not specialized on it, but I think there's a different analysis with the carbon that can show you this. But with the DNA analysis, no, we just recognize the variety.
When a grape variety doesn't have a name, how does it go about getting referred to? Do people make up a name for it?
Unfortunately, you don't know how to, what to do. This is a big problem, okay? This is something that has happened to us also. And you have to search a lot in the bibliography to look all the information, you know, in old books, if there is any mention, if there is somebody who mentioned that, even a song. We have some example like that, even a song who mentioned a variety in a village, in a small island. You imagine that it's probably is this the variety that you find it. So you have to look around, not in directly in the viticulture, because, you know, before 300 years or 200 years in Greece, there's no any scientific viticulture. So you have to look around to all the social things, all the descriptor, all the books that exist at this period, and to look any information. And if you are lucky, you will find something. If you are not lucky, I don't know what to do. I don't know how we are going to react. We are still at the hope that we will find information.
Have you found grape varieties where it's referred to by a different name in different areas?
Yes, we have found a lot. Some of them is all Greek varieties. Some of them is Italian or French varieties, which is mentioned with a different name in Greece. Some of them is Turkish variety, which is mentioned with a Greek name, or the Turkish mentioned with a Greek name. So there's always a blend or a mixed with varieties in Balkan. In north part of Greece, there's a mix with the Bulgarian varieties or Fyrom varieties, or the east part of Greece, there's a mix sometimes with Turkish varieties. So always there's a mix. But the interesting is that we have some common varieties. We have found 2-3 varieties that is common. We cultivate it. The Turkish people, they cultivate it. And we have to look also at our neighbor's vineyard. This is interesting. And this is the next step we plan to do.
Have you found family groups? Like, are there a certain style of Greek red wines, red wine grapes? Or are there a certain style of Greek white wine grapes? Are there characteristics that families share between different varieties?
There's some characteristics that mention the Greek varieties, especially the white varieties. This is the body, the body that came in the wines. This is something that came from the skin. The skin in the most of the Greek varieties is thick, and this gives us the good concentration in the mouth. This is something that characterize the Greek varieties. Is I don't know why. I suppose I'm not a genetist, but I suppose that this is came from the year and the year because of the high temperature that we have in Greece. And this is the reaction of the varieties to the sun. Because if you have a skin thicker, you have a better resistance to the dehydration, evapotranspiration. Okay, so if you have a thick skin, the berry don't lose easy water. So it's a mechanism of protection of the varieties from the high temperature. So this is a characteristic that we can say that the most of the Greek white varieties have it. And another thing is that the most of them, they are very resistant to drought.
To drought, they're drought, resistant, yes, to drought.
Yes, this is the second most important characteristic. This characteristic, because of this characteristic, today there's a big interest in for all over the world for the Greek varieties. A lot of people, they are coming to see, to look our varieties, our wine, to see how it's going with the clones from Australia, from South Africa, from Chile, from California. They are interested in varieties which is resistant to the drought.
Because in areas that are perhaps already warm and are getting warmer, it might make sense for some of these people to look forward to changing climate and thinking about more drought-resistant varieties.
I think that the big companies and all the wine industry in hot region like South Australia or like California, they have to look, and they are looking already in Mediterranean region, especially in Greece, because they can found varieties that they can give good result, economical, they cultivate with less money because they are more resistant to the high temperature, and the wine could be better. So there's an interesting. There's an interesting, and every day is more powerful. So this is what our job answer. Because, you know, for with the certification that we are going to give to the varieties, we open the door to travel the varieties and the material all over the world. This is the thing that we're doing, and is the important thing that our company give to the Greek varieties.
So are there licenses and procedures you have to follow through to make sure that you can sell worldwide?
Of course. Yes, there are there's a different procedure. There are different procedure, and this is the reason that all of this work we are doing with the National Institute in France and TAV, and we are going to do it together, and we are going to commercialize all the licenses together.
When you find a rare grape variety, do you usually find a couple examples of it in the same vineyard? Like you go to a vineyard and there's a row of this kind of wine or a bunch of those kind of vines? Or is it that you find a vine that's unique in a vineyard and then that same vine somewhere far away?
Both. There are examples that we found just one, two vine, and some other vines some kilometer away. There are examples that we just find some plants in the same terroir. So there are all the possibilities. The problem that we have sometimes is that you find some vines and you don't know what it is. So the old guy that probably usually cultivate this vineyard, he say to you, okay, this is the variety X. Okay, you mark it, you notice. And after 1-2 years, you find the same vine in another region, and you find another old guy that he say, okay, this vine, the name is the X, or this the name is A. So if you don't have any database, there you are blocked. You don't know what to do. Okay, this is the problem sometimes. And this problem we didn't solve yet. We don't know how to react. So we just continue to work and hoping to find two or three different sources that say the same thing. So then you say, okay, if you have three sources that say is A and one source that is say X, okay, you believe the three sources. You cannot do anything else.
So in a way, a large part of it is still verbal tradition that's handed down.
Yes, this is a problem, but this is the interesting also. So.
And it must call for a lot of traveling throughout Greece and a lot of surveying and inspecting of different diverse vineyards.
Yeah, this is the interesting. So we have I have some friends that sometimes they came with me so just to see the region. So why not? If you want, one day just for a week, come in Greece and we are going to travel around Greece. It's going to be a very interesting trip for you also to see all of these different old vineyards that exist all over in Greece.
So are there grape varieties that you found and then vinified that weren't known very well before that you're very excited about?
Yes, there are. And we believe that, for example, there's a variety that the name is Limiona. Probably you didn't taste yet. It's a red variety. It, in fact, we didn't found our company. It's the National Institute in Greece that they found it just 20 years ago. But they would not be, they would be able to understand the potential. So we took it, the material, just 10 years before, and we start to make some experiment. And we saw that this variety is it is very interesting. So we start to multiply to give it the market. And today there are a lot of winery that they produce this variety. And I think that there are some that they make export also in USA. For example, this is a, and this is a very resistant variety to drought. The last 2 years we had just found some other varieties. Two of them is the Mavrostifo and Mavrothilico. It's also red varieties. They are very rare varieties. There are just some few plants in Greece. From Mavrothilico, I don't think so that there are more than 2 hectares today after 5 years that we found it. And from Mavrostifo, there are just 0.6 hectares. So there are very rare varieties, okay? But I
so less than a hectare.
Less than a hectare.
So yes. It's 0.6 hectares, about 1 acre of vines in the world, basically.
In the world, But I believe them. I believe them because they, both of them, they are very good. They have very good color. They are interesting aroma, fruit, red fruit, black fruit. They give you found that the bodies, the concentration in the mouth is good. The soft tannin, good tannin. So why not?
And what are some of the more well-known grape varieties like Aiguille Artico or Xenomavro? Where, what are the characteristics of those grape varieties? If you were to talk about them, what should I know about them as a consumer?
The Aiguille Artico, I think, is the variety that answers today to the consumer that they want to drink something easy, drinkable. Aiguille Artico is a variety that has a lot of fruit. Aiguille Artico is a variety that also can give Van de Garde. Wine that can keep minimum 10 years in the bottle. The big advantage of Aiguille Artico is the tannin. The tannin is very soft and it gives you wine of elegance, not very strong wine like Syrah or like Cabernet Sauvignon. So Aiguille Artico can give the answer to all the wine bar, to the restaurant, for the young people that they start now to drink wine. I can give the answer also to the people, the old people, that they like to drink old wine, but elegant wine. On the other hand, Xenomavro is a more complex variety because it needs time. It's a variety with a lot of tannin. It's a variety with not very common aroma. He has a lot of fruit, but also at the same time, gives aroma of tomatoes, of olive aroma, quite strange sometimes for the consumer. So Xenomavro answer, and at the people that they like to drink Barolo, they like to drink Nebbiolo, they like to drink Pinot Noir. So is Xenomavro answer to the consumer that they have the same philosophy and they like to drink the same wines like Pinot Noir and Nebbiolo. Xenomavro, of course, it has a big potential for to make old wine a good wine because of the very high concentration of the tannin and the very high acidity. So there are the two most important Greek varieties today. And every day I feel that, not every day, but every 3 to 5 years, our wine is much, much better because new people, they start to work on these varieties in the vineyard, in the winery. So if somebody follow the evolution of this variety, he would be able to notice the better wines that came the last 5 years.
So even though it's one of the most ancient wine areas in the world, it's still a developing process in the current day.
Yeah, that's true. But unfortunately, we are an ancient country with very old roots in the wine and the grape, but because of the reason of the social reason, because of the reason of the situation of the country, the last 6 centuries, because of the guerre, because of the war, sorry. I sometimes say some French word, sorry. The wine industry in Greece and the tradition there is just for 40 years. So we are an old country with very new philosophy. I am just the second generation. So we are just new, everybody. So we have to do a lot of work.
And what would be the major grape varieties that are white? What should I know about the characteristics of some of the most well thought of white grape varieties from Greece?
Without a doubt, Assyrtiko. Assyrtiko is the most famous, most popular variety today in Greece. And I think Assyrtiko is going to be very soon one of the most known varieties all over the world. Assyrtiko is the variety that give today wines that can answer to any demanding of the consumer. Fruit wines, wines of terroir, wines of the that give all the terroir in the glass. Assyrtiko is the variety that can have very big resistance to the drought. So I think Assyrtiko, I believe Assyrtiko, I feel it, that it's going to have a very big future in the wine industry all over the world.
You see interest from other countries?
Yes, already. Assyrtiko has planted in Australia just before 5 years, and there's a big interest in, from all a lot of countries, even here in California. And I think that already they have done some experiment in UC Davis with Assyrtiko. Assyrtiko is the variety that can with Assyrtiko you can have the answer to the high temperature during the summer.
The high temperatures.
Yeah, the high temperature. Yeah.
So you can make a high acid wine in high temperatures, yes. Basically, which is what happens in Santorini.
Yeah.
Because it's warm there and doesn't rain.
It's warm, but because of the Assyrtiko, the wines, they have very high acidity. Sometimes some winery, they have problem with the high acidity. So it's the variety of the future, I think. We believe on this variety, and there's no any people that they say that this variety is not going to make a career.
And it seems to be terroir reflective. It seems to show where it's grown.
The interesting with this variety is that, as we say in Greece, it's a plastic variety. What I mean with plastic variety, Assyrtiko is a variety that reacts to every terroir and give you good result to all the terroir. Of course, it's different wines all the times, but the wine is good. This is the important. Assyrtiko can give you good wine in different terroir. So it's a plastic variety. It can react to every terroir. It can give you always good result. And this is the important for everybody.
And are there other white grape varieties that will come to mind to you as very important?
I think that Moscofilero is the second most important qualitative variety that we have in Greece. Moscofilero is like the Pinot Noir. It's a great variety. Is an aromatic variety. With Moscofilero, my generation start to drink wine the last 10 years. Okay, the Moscofilero create new consumer in Greece. So yes, there's a future also in this variety. It's a very interesting variety, and is a variety that helps also a lot of women to start to drink wine.
And why do you think that is? A little fruitier? Or?
Yeah, there's a lot of fruit, a lot of rose, a lot of white fruit and light acidity, but a very marked, and a lot of elegance. So, of course, there's not a lot of body like an Assyrtiko, but the elegance and the fruit that gives you the Assyrtiko give you a wine very drinkable.
And what should I know about the different regions of Greece? What are some of the major regions and what are their characteristics?
The main region in Greece basically are four. The region of Nemea, where we cultivate Agiorgitiko. The region of Santorini, where we cultivate Assyrtiko. After the north part of Greece, because these two regions is south part of Greece, there are four regions where we cultivate Ξινόμαυρο, Νάουσα, Αμύδο, Ραψάνι, Οικουμένησα. And after there is Mantinea, where we cultivate Moscofilero. The advantage of Greece is the terroir. A lot of people, they believe that Greece is a very hot country, very dry country, with a very high temperature and not a lot of rain. It's not like that. Greece is, of course, a Mediterranean country, but Greece has a lot of rain, more rain than a lot of other regions where today they cultivate vineyard. And Greece is infected very often from the air that coming from the north, from the air that coming from the sea. So it's very complex, the climate in Greece. And at the same time, you have to know that in Greece we have a lot of mountains. Okay, we are not deserts. So this combination of the sea and the mountains and the different topography every time, it gives us the advantage to have a very complex terroir. And if you, we don't have to forget the mosaic of the soil. In Greece, every 100 meters, we have different type of soil. This is what makes our wines very complex.
Coastal regions tempered by the sea, high elevation vineyards that are cooler as a result of being at higher altitude, and vast divergence of different soil types.
Yeah, and all of this give this complexity. All of this give us the advantage to make wine of terroir. I think that in Greece we produce wine of terroir. And the problem sometimes that you have is that we have a lot of different soil, so it's very difficult, the work of the agronomist. But at the same time, it's very interesting because the result always is more complex.
So you're not sure if it's the soil that's speaking or the vine that's speaking when you see a difference between one and another sometimes?
Yeah, you are not sure, but always is a combination of the terroir and the vine. And I think that the terroir in Greece is special, and the most of the time speaks the terroir because the varieties are adapted there. The varieties are adapted to the soil, to the climate, and the terroir is just the thing that make the work today.
So how would you define success on your own terms? What's going to make you feel fulfilled in what seems to be like a project that's going to be for the rest of your life? You started on a journey. What are your ultimate goals?
I think that it's not easy to say that because I am still quite young. I'm just 35 years old. But I think that my journey is going to be successful when I will find a lot of different terroir outside of Greece to plant the Greek varieties and to give to the people the opportunity to learn the Greek varieties outside of Greece. I know it's difficult. I know that takes time, but this is the target. It was a guy just 6 years before that visited me from Chile. He would like to see the varieties. Okay, he would like to see our potential in the varieties because they were interested to import the varieties in Chile. So after 3 days of tasting, 3 days of visiting the vineyard, 3 days of discussion, he said to me, it's impossible to forget. He said to me, okay, Kostas, I believe that your varieties are interesting. I believe that we have a future and we are interested to import these varieties, but can we buy your terroir? We would like to buy your soil. So, yes, the soil in Greece is very unique, but I'm sure that there are a lot of soil outside of Greece that can be able to adapt to the Greek varieties and give excellent results.
Kostas Bakasietis of the Bakasietis Vine Nursery in Nemea. Thank you very much for being here today.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Kostas Bakasietis.
All Drink to That is hosted and produced by myself, Levy Dalton. Aaron Skella has contributed original pieces. Editorial assistance has been provided by Bill Kimsey. The show music was performed and composed by Rob Moose and Thomas Bartlett. Show artwork by Alicia Tenoyan. T-shirts, sweatshirts, coffee mugs, and so much more, including show stickers, notebooks, and even gift wrap, are available for sale if you check the show website, alldrinktothatpod.com. That's ILL drinktothatpod.com. which is the same place you'd go to sign up for our email list or to make one of the crucially important donations that help keep this show operating. You can donate from anywhere using PayPal or Stripe on the show website. Remember to hit subscribe or to follow this show in your favorite podcast app, please. That's super important to see every episode. And thank you for listening.